about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm so glad that you are ready to talk.
Look, just know you're not gonna get what you want out of this, all right? This is not gonna end in hugs and forgiveness.
Say what you came here to say.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I'm out in the backyard and I'm scooping some poop. And if only I had some sort of theme song to go with it. It's just not right not having a theme song for such an important event. Hit it, Steve.
Whoop-dee-dee-scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop. Poop-dee-scoop-dee-scoop-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-whoop-poop.
Clean up on aisle three. Clean up on aisle three.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
Someone call someone.
What happened? What was that all about?
And now.
And we'll never be royals. And we'll never be royals.
Our feature presentation.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Good morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is the 24th of May.
Hey, kids.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Great.
Wonderful.
Never better.
I think it's the best day I've had here so far.
Love it.
Can't get enough of things working.
Look.
For the love of all that's effing holy.
I know. I know it's
jeez!
I know it's a struggle.
Look, computers don't work. Printers don't work.
Right.
Email is hooked up to something else that we just found out has a password that none of us have known for a week.
Email doesn't work.
Right. What
else is there?
At least we've got our producer here helping us. Hey, Dave, you listening in your car? Come on in.
Be helpful.
He's not awake yet. We're doing a show like we did before the internet. It's essentially what's happening.
No, we're not, because we depend on the internet now.
Yeah.
Right.
What I'm saying. Before, we didn't even depend on it, so we knew and we planned differently.
Didn't know what you were missing.
Right.
Exactly. Allie, there may be an old newspaper out in the lobby. You can just rifle through that and see if anything looks good.
Sounds good.
That's how we used to do it.
I know. It's crazy.
So... Well, fingers crossed we get up and running. We are not full steam ahead at this point yet.
No.
At least
we're in reverse.
Omar's here, right?
No, he's sick again.
Not coming in.
But Chip can back him up.
Chip is on tour.
Right. Oh, she's on tour.
She's doing the rock star thing.
All right. So those of us that remain will
all good.
We'll press on, I guess.
Yep.
Hey,
never happier.
I have said in the past many times before that I would not be a person who would survive a catastrophic accident, injury, event where I was required to be brave and superhuman.
Right.
An example I always give is 127 hours. I just die stuck in the rocks. I don't have the strength or the fortitude to cut my own arm off to survive that. I'm not that guy. And I don't know how I would have done if I were Amber Cornack, who just started her new job less than 2 weeks ago. She posted about her new job on Facebook. It was her dream job. She had always wanted to work for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and she got a job as a field assistant working with grizzly bears.
Oh, no.
In the Cabinet Mountains in Montana.
That sounds great, and I don't like where this is going.
I understand wanting to work for the Forest Service. I understand there are a lot of people, and it's a great job for them to just be out there in the wilderness, and they love it. And I totally see the appeal of that. And I also get the appeal of being attracted to a particular animal and wanting to make your life be about that animal because you're fascinated with it. You love spending time with them, or seeing them, or learning about them, or whatever. So she's in the Montana Cabinet Mountains, a narrow stretch of snow-capped peaks that sprawl more than 40 miles, with glacial lakes and waterfalls and swamps and beautiful trees, and about 50 grizzly bears. Okay. They are a threatened species, and one of her first projects on the job was to collect grizzly bear hair samples off of trees or anything else that the bears might be rubbing their fur against. Now, I'm surprised in 2018 that we are still collecting bear fur to study the animal's DNA. I'm surprised we're not past that with bears.
Yeah, we know. We know a bear. We got it covered.
Right, we know bears, right? So on May 17th, she's out collecting samples by herself, and she was, as you can imagine, mauled by a grizzly bear.
Oh, man.
Which left her with a fractured skull, and severe lacerations to her head, neck, and back.
Wow. She's alive?
Still alive.
Oh, my gosh.
She fought back, and she had Wisely bear spray on her, and she sprayed it. Also managed to spray herself at the same time, by the way. And I don't know much about bear spray, but I bet it doesn't feel great for humans either.
No, I would assume not.
I bet that just makes a bad situation worse. So somehow, I guess she runs the bear off, and now she's there with this fractured skull, at which point I just cry and lie down in the woods and die.
Right. That's your move.
That's my move.
Right.
But she manages to stay calm and walks 2 miles back to her work vehicle with all of her injuries mauled up by this bear and the fractured skull. Then she drove to find help and got someone to call 911.
Wow.
They arrived, and she was flown to Kalispell Regional Medical Center. So they helicoptered her out there. She had a 4-hour surgery to remove bone fragments and to clean wounds in her brain.
Oh. I'm sorry, you said in her brain.
Yes, clean wounds in her brain, yes. She is obviously passionate about wildlife, and she continues to want to work with grizzly bears. She's making great strides, but it's going to be a long recovery. That is.
I love that people like her exist.
Yeah.
I love that she's so passionate about bears that she makes that her life's work. That's fantastic.
Do you remember when I said that would be my way to go out? Like, if I could hug a bear, and it's fine that he killed me because at least I got to hug a bear. I might be taking that back. I might be walking that back a little bit.
Well, I mean, she didn't go, so.
They cleaned up brain fragment
brain
stuff.
Wounds, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if there is a phone topic in the quickest into a new job, it turned into a disaster.
Yeah.
Because she was less than 2 weeks into her dream job.
Oh, man.
And now she's in the hospital. So I don't know. But obviously, fingers crossed, complete recovery. And, you know, if she wants to get back to that line of work, I hope she's able to. Hope she's well enough. But crazy story.
Good times.
Right?
Is it good times?
I don't think necessarily.
It isn't. All right.
And Allie is having a worse day than this lady, too. let's never forget that.
Please.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? What the?
Did you realize yesterday that you tweeted Kevin and Dean?
No, God, I didn't realize that, no.
Did okay. I? You're just having issues with the word bean today, and yesterday was Dean.
I tweeted you back. Of course, you don't follow me, Kevin, so you wouldn't know, but I tweeted, I answer to Dean sometimes, too, so it's all good.
The problem is that I tweet, then I don't really look at it for a while,
right.
So if something like that goes up and it's misspelled, then it stays misspelled because...
I mean, look, you got most of the letters...
Right?
You got most of the letters right.
Yeah. Right, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just take that as a win.
And the D is right by the B on a keyboard.
Oh, it's not. on today's show, we've got a brand new internet roundup. We have Russ Leatherman talking about Solo, A Star Wars.
You played poker last night, Kevin?
What's wrong with me? No.
Oh.
I should have. the captain of the LA Galaxy, Ashley Cole, on the show today. Plus, we've got K-Rock Night coming up tomorrow night.
Oh, wow.
You can join us. It's going to be exciting. Dr. Drew on the program today. Petros Papadakis on the show today talking about the NFL national anthem policy and your tickets for Nine Inch Nails as well. Coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
You got my name right. I appreciate that.
Right?
That was very kind.
I practice.
Hey, it's a Thursday morning. Allie, what is happening?
You wanted to smoke a little bit of weed with Snoop Dogg?
Yeah.
I mean, sure.
What if it's
That's a rhetorical question, right?
Right? Well, what if it's in a new virtual reality experience?
Is he really there or not?
No.
Are you really smoking weed with him then?
No, you are not.
Mm. Okay. All right.
So sorry. But this
Hold on. Are you smoking weed?
You could be sure.
Okay, then yes.
All right. I mean, it doesn't come with this Hulu VR app. It doesn't come with weed.
Okay.
Like, you'll have to supply that yourself.
Okay, that's fine.
However, this is what it is. It's called Door Number One. It's a new choose-your-own-adventure live-action virtual reality experience where viewers attend a 10-year high school reunion. It's the last thing I want to attend,
Same.
First of all. But maybe if it lasts 10 to 20 minutes, like this experience, and depending on your choice, where you look in the frame is who you're going to talk to.
Right.
So you play the role of a guy named Alex. Maybe it's a girl named Alex. And then you select to mingle with the jocks, the musical theater geeks, other alums. And then there's voices played by different actors. You've got Sarah Baker, Missy Pyle, Ravi Patel, Steve Little. So you just kind of walk around. But one of the choices is you could head to the bathroom and smoke with Snoop Dogg.
What is happening?
I don't know.
I don't even understand this.
It's just VR. It's just a weird experience.
Right. We're so high right now.
We're not low.
So you're sitting in there, you're talking to a jock, and then you're like, ooh, I want to head to the bathroom and smoke with Snoop. How packed is that bathroom going
to
be?
Who's not going to head straight to the bathroom?
Right?
And by the way, this is just the, you know, we're on the leading edge of these kind of VR experiences. I mean, just extrapolate this out to what will be available in a few years. There's almost not going to be an experience you can't sign up for on VR.
Right. Like get in a sports car.
Yeah.
Race around the...
Exactly.
Sports
go to a Beyonce concert. I mean, whatever it is you can imagine, they'll have a VR that you'll be able to select and be and feel like you're right there.
Dean, you'll never have to leave the house
ever.
Pretty good deal,
right?
By the way, our friend Doug Benson has told us many times that he can't walk 25 feet in public without somebody coming up to him and wanting to smoke weed with him.
Yeah.
It's got to be just like that for Snoop, right?
Oh, sure.
Every day, all day, people see him, and that's what they want to do. So it makes sense that somebody would put this into a VR, because a lot of people seem to have that dream.
Although I did talk to Doug about that one time, and he said he doesn't ever have to carry, because everywhere he goes, people offer it to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, try this. This is my strain. You'll love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an honor for them, right?
I think if you're a weed smoker and you travel a ton... That's got to be the first thought. Like, where am I going to find it?
Sure.
Doug never has to do that.
Ever.
I
asked him about that. I was like, you go to each city, you have it mapped out. He's like, no.
Nope.
People just come up to me, hand me weed. I'm like, that's the best.
Oh, what
I
a
need
world.
His gig, right?
What a world.
If I was funny, that'd be great.
Kevin, you're pretty funny.
But accidentally.
Sure. Most of the time. Do you guys remember the Aston Martin that Pierce Brosnan drove in GoldenEye? It was the opening car chase in 007.
Yeah,
remember
that was a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, going through the hills of Monaco.
Mm.
So gorgeous,
why was he doing
right?
that, Allie? I forget.
He was being chased by the Golden Finger lady. So, yeah.
Allie is our expert on all things James Bond movies.
Thank you.
Because in the 50-plus years they've been making those movies, she hasn't made time to see even one of them.
But I do distinctly remember this one. He was like, oh, no, Golden Finger's after me.
Right.
So hopped in the Aston Martin, was like, oh. And then the drive became all scenic, and he's like, this is pretty. Oh, no, they're after me. I have to really keep driving fast.
How do you do that? That's word for word.
Yeah. Then, like, through a tunnel, I'm sure.
Sure.
And... Yeah. So if you want to drive that car, it's a 1965 DB5. It's now going to be sold to the highest bidder on July 13th.
Oh.
That car that he drove through the hills of Monaco. What do you think that car might go for?
I'm bad at this. I don't know.
It's an expensive car anyway.
Right.
And then on top of its notoriety, I'm going to say $200,000.
Really?
I'm going to say a million.
You're a lot closer, Kevin. $2.1 million.
Wow.
That's a good chunk of
it's
change.
It's a lot for a car.
Yes.
That you're most likely not going to drive.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Just probably real special days.
Sure.
Like Sunday. Want to hear some birthdays?
No, guys? I want to hear more about the James Bond movie. But go ahead.
What was your other favorite scene in that particular film?
Right.
Oh, when the lady came up out of the water in that bathing suit. And he's like, oh, yeah. And then they did it.
That's every James Bond movie ever, so I'm going to get to you.
Exactly. Thank you. Some birthdays for you. Actor John C. Reilly. Actor Tommy Chong, speaking of smoking in a bathroom. Singer Bob Dylan. Oh, actress Allison Hannigan. And actor Alfred Molina. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. My favorite part. At 6:07.
Four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets for you for Pixar Fest, Nine Inch Nails tickets, Galaxy tickets on the show today, the new Johnny Knoxville film Action Point. We got red carpet premiere tickets and Chris D'Elia doing comedy at the World Tour. That's a lot of good stuff.
Sure.
Handing out here this morning. Yesterday, when we came on the air, I always play a little sound montage to get the show started, and there was a little clip in there from, it turns out, Kevin, 10 years ago was the Dimitri voicemail.
Has it been that long?
2008 is when it happened, and we heard his voice, and we started reminiscing about how crazy that deal was with him, and we thought we would revisit a longer version of it, because I had not heard this in a long time. And I had forgotten how creepy it is. So I misspoke yesterday when my recollection from 10 years ago was that he had been out on a date with her and then she wouldn't return his calls after that. He didn't even date her. They met on the street and she gave him her card. So then he called her. Okay?
Wow.
But it sounds like...
I forgot that too.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. It sounds like... Allie, is this a thing? Does that make sense that you would give somebody a card but have no intention of ever talking to them again just to get rid of them, right?
If I'm giving you my card, I don't want to talk to you, but...
But you don't give your card.
No. But a lot of people, just to get out of a situation, mm-hmm. will give something just... Okay. Because a lot of times you say no to a guy right out.
Right.
Guess what happens?
Especially this... Yeah. This guy sounds
this
like
guy happens.
He tries to convince you that you're wrong.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, so he calls and leaves a message and then gives her the opportunity to call back. So then she does it. So he calls again. So here's some of the highlights of Dimitri, the lover, as he's known.
Yeah, hi there, Olga. It's Dimitri. Sorry I had to leave such a rushed message with you when we met the other day. I just want to quickly give you my phone number, and I had to get the heck out of the area. In any event, I figure I better leave you a more detailed message and explain why I approached you. I am single. I have no trouble meeting women. I mean, women approach me 6-7 times a day.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. That happens.
Which is why he's calling Olga, right? Because of all the women that are approaching him.
But I'm very particular about what I like. You're extremely elegant. I couldn't take my eyes off of you, and your friends were very jealous, even if they say they weren't. They were envious of the fact that I approached you.
Guys?
God.
Wow.
Oh.
Is this...
So everybody in her friend group was hoping Dimitri would talk to them?
Yes, they were jealous.
Wow.
They were jealous. I mean, are you guys getting, feeling like a little ill?
Yes.
Already? I already need a shower.
Yes.
This guy is disgusting.
I know.
And I was very taken by you. Elegant women are very rare. I'm Greek, and I'm very particular about what I like. So I'm giving you an opportunity here. I don't know if you pick up the messages on the weekend, but I'm working on a movie script, so I'm pretty much around all weekend.
Guess what he's not really doing, guys?
Working on a movie script?
Doing that. I left you my number, 416-918-4.
Oh, too bad.
This Allie looks wanted like to call a landline, and if it is, you may not get the message till Monday. But when you do, call me. And then we'll get together for coffee and chat and let the romance begin.
Oh.
You look very...
Let the romance begin, you guys.
He says that before they actually date.
Yes. Yes.
He assumes that she's going to meet him, first of all.
That's right.
She wants to.
That's right.
And that romance will begin.
All they've done is meet on the street so far. He's maybe a few steps ahead.
You look very taken aback by my approach. And I hope that isn't timidness. I hope it was just a little bit of... shock at being approached so directly, because I don't really date timid women, because I'm a very direct, very passionate, very assertive man, and I want a woman who's very independent and strong.
By the way, again, this is his first voicemail message after meeting her briefly on the street. He's now laying out his list of demands for the women that he chooses to date.
Wow. This is unbelievable.
So anyway, we'll talk about that, but I just wanted to formally introduce myself. Now I have. I leave the ball in your court. You call me as soon as you have the courage to. Okay, Olga? Talk to you soon. Bye.
As soon as you have the courage to.
Courage.
It's on her. If she doesn't call him, it's because she's weak.
Weak.
Right.
Guys, I'm sorry to say, Olga did not call back.
What?
After hearing that message, I don't know why she didn't immediately dial up Dimitri.
I mean, I would have gone in over the weekend to my work to access that voicemail, hoping he had called.
Right, exactly. Oh. So he does call back.
Hi there, Olga. It's Dimitri calling again, the guy from the street. I left you a message several days ago. You said you were interested. Now,
yes.
I like that he identifies himself as the guy from the street.
Right. So... Yeah, I think he's going to be mad, guys, because it's been a few days now and she hasn't responded. So let's see how this goes.
Now, here's the way I work. I don't like leaving second messages, but I like you. You're a very elegant woman. You're very attractive. But, you know, I don't play that game. I know your friends tell you not to return calls. You're playing games like you see on stupid TV shows. So here's how it's going to work.
Here's how it's going to work, Allie.
God.
I can tell you something. It's not going to work.
I need you to take some notes, woman. Here's how it's going down.
It is now 4:30 on Wednesday. Now, I'll assume that you've already left work because, you know, some people leave early. And I'll grant you that. But if I do not,
that's kind.
That's very generous.
That's
of him,
kind
right?
of him to grant her that.
God.
But if I do not receive a phone call back from you by 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon,
a deadline,
I'm no longer interested, and you can erase my number. I don't play games like that. I'm completely single. I'm very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm great in bed. I make great money. Believe it or not, I'm a complete catch.
Mm.
Guys,
I'm going to say...
I don't think he knows what catch means.
He's the exact opposite of a complete catch.
Yeah.
He's actually your worst nightmare.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, a little bit more.
There's nothing wrong with me.
Please.
Matter of fact, I'm one of the few men in the city that has nothing wrong with him.
Oh, my
Nobody
God.
Says, call me, hands a person a business card, and then doesn't return calls. It's extremely passive-aggressive. You should actually look that up, passive-aggressive.
Oh, look it up.
Look it up. There's no way she could know what that means.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Are you, you want to hit a wall, Allie? You want to
look it up.
What do we have to do
to
erase this from our minds? I think big conclusion coming up here.
And you let me know if you've got issues, psychological issues, if you're on any sort of medication for anxiety or depression, I'm not interested.
He's out, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? But if you're psychologically normal and you haven't called me because there's been some horrible thing that's happened in your life which prevented you, that's fine.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, don't call me. Okay?
Okay.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dimitri.
Wow.
Let the romance begin.
Did anyone ever find him?
Yes. Not only did somebody find him, but it turns out that he... ran at the time anyway a website called the Real Men Club where he would teach men how to pick up women.
Yep.
He had a Make Women Worship You series that
this
he would sell.
Is all making perfect sense.
Yep. Teach other guys how to get dates.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Teach other men that they should feel entitled to a woman's love.
Yes, exactly.
That's insane.
Scary.
I think it's good that we revisited that, as creepy as it is, because I hope that people listening will go, okay, I know exactly what not to do now on every count.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Dave wants to know why we're not all watching the lava cam, by the way.
So exciting. Did you see that? Yesterday, the lava mountain that was right next to it built up so high and then fell down.
Right.
How can you not be excited
so
by it?
There's a camera on the lava 24/7, and Dave is watching it.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I saw it in the office yesterday while we were having a meeting.
And it's cool, right?
Yeah, it was cool for, you know, 2.5 minutes. Maybe 3 even.
This lava cam, obviously we're talking about the Big Island of Hawaii that is just, it's a natural disaster, the likes of which they haven't seen in 100 years there. They have 20-something fissures now that have opened up with lava that can't be stopped, that's just going everywhere, and it's getting ready to take over a power plant. It's insane to watch. But the camera that Dave is talking about is none of that. He's talking about just seeing lava spewing out of one point on a mountain, okay?
Yeah.
Just going up into the air with no context, nothing around it. It's a CNN photo journalist named Jordan Gazzardo. He set up a camera on the balcony of somebody's apartment about a mile from the lava.
Insane!
About a mile from it.
Wow.
Right? And that's it. It's just, it's almost exactly like sitting in front of a fireplace and watching a fire.
Now, Bean, you're the guy who likes to watch live camera stuff, right? You were in on the,
Giraffe cam?
The giraffe cam. Yeah, that's what I was asking. Yeah.
I was way in on the giraffe cam.
Yeah. And how long did that take? Days?
Oh, weeks. Remember, Allie's theory was that that giraffe was faking her pregnancy.
Faking it.
Just for food.
100%. I still question it.
that was April, remember? But see, the draw for April is at some point she was going to give birth to a giraffe. That's why I was into that and kept that up all the time in my house. Nothing's going to happen with this lava except the possibility that it might burn out, that it might stop spewing.
See, bro, you weren't watching it yesterday. You should have seen the levels that were spewing out of it. It would get lower and then higher. And then sometimes you'll see the rock, like the lava shoot out a rock. It's like, how is it shooting out a rock? That's insane.
They're saying shooting, but he's doesn't speak English, just so those of you know.
Well, listen, this is the Earth, you know, the Earth's butthole going crazy right now.
Uh-huh.
So, this is fascinating.
That's a bad image. All right.
again, I am very invested in the Hawaii story. I really am. I follow it a lot. I read about it. I watch it on TV. I mean, it is amazing what's going on there in a negative way, obviously, for the people who live there. This particular camera, though, is...
So that's the right angle for you.
I mean,
or me, I want to see it from below, and I want to see
something.
Yes,
where it's
do
coming
I.
down.
But we don't have that right now.
Well, so somebody get on it.
What we have is this tree that's a badass tree that's not on fire. Why isn't this tree on fire? How far away is this tree
from
the
lava? How much time have you spent watching that?
Well, let's just say I was here a little later than normal.
I mean, what did I say to you yesterday? It's fine if it's like watching a GIF, though. It's 5 seconds that's the same over and over and over again, which is just watching this lava.
If you go right now.
It's not doing anything.
Look at the color of the lava, the molten lava,
right?
Magma. And
the color of it changed?
Yes. And then when the sun comes up, it gets a little lighter, but right now it's so dark and so beautiful. This is why we have to watch and document it.
So you're saying that when the sun comes up, the image gets lighter, Dave?
Yes.
Right?
And it's darker at night?
Listen.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Science, bro.
That is amazing.
Crazy.
So we started talking about cams. Kevin, have you ever been invested in one? I think most of the ones I have been animal ones, like, you know, looking for whales or whatever. Dolphins.
Never once.
Really? How about you, Allie?
I'm just not the type to watch a live stream because, I don't know, stuff to do.
Right. I have never, but then I started Googling stuff and a lot of stuff came up that wasn't easily accessed from my work computer. But there are cams for everything. Like every major city has a cam. Like Italy, a Colosseum cam. Greece in Corfu has a cam. So you can just look at what's happening in that city. That's just, it's gorgeous. So it's like you're just traveling through your computer, except not at all. You're at home, probably with your hand down your pants. It's weird.
I mean, no one else watches the Monterey Aquarium when they feed the fish?
Somebody may. No one in this room does.
Dave does.
Oh, just someone in this room
does. What do you watch? Bean, you watch something like this?
No, I don't have any that I like go to year after year that are, you know, that I have bookmarked or anything like that. It's really just if something's in the news that's interesting, that like the Eagle Cam. I was into the Eagle Cam to watch those little eagles hatch. You know what I mean?
Oh, the bald eagles in San Bernardino, Big Bear.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was into those, but I bet our listeners have cams that they love.
Probably
a
lot of snow cams. People that are going to be traveling up to the snow, snowboarders want to see what the conditions are. Check out Mammoth Cam.
Oh, yeah, amazing. That makes sense.
When we went, you guys are just going to laugh at me. But when we went to Brazil for the World Cup, we were in Rio, and that beach right in Rio, there is a cam on that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I would call my friend, and I would go watch, and then I would run out there and jump up and down like this just to see if he could see me.
Could he see
it? Of course not.
No.
It was so fun.
Do you guys remember?
So dumb.
Do you guys remember
when
we
did it every day?
Did it about 5 times.
You guys remember when K-Rock stormed Bear Mountain a couple of years ago when there was a Big Bear city cam? So one that fed to every hotel in the city. And I walked out and mooned the camera.
Oh, I do remember that. Yes, and you could see that
And you
one.
Could see my butt.
Yes.
My butt was on the TV.
Yes.
Nice. I will say that after talking about this, I did start researching other cams. And I might have found one that watch.
Just before you get to that, will open the lines, 1-800-520-1067. If you have an interesting cam that you watch or a ridiculous cam that you watch, please call us and let us know what it is. All right, Allie.
So there's something called Explore, and it's live cams, and there's different categories. So trending, bears, birds, oceans, cat rescue, farm sanctuary. But I, of course, clicked on Dog Bless You. And
Dog Bless You.
And it's all dog cams, but here's the one I'm going to watch. It's called The Corral at Warrior Canine Connections Healing Quarters. It's a fenced-in outdoor area where service dogs in training exercise. Oh, they're going to be service dogs, and they're just running around you, pet their belly.
But I just want to clarify. You know, you can't pet their belly because you're watching a cam.
But I can experience it through others.
Okay.
So it's just dogs running around in a field?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bean was saying that sort of as a negative, and Allie was like, yes, that's exactly it.
Well, the level of excitement right. for the build-up.
Right. Because they're in training to be service dogs, so they have this purpose. They're running with purpose.
Okay. All right, so beat the service dog cam, 1-800-520-1067. What's a cam that you watch that you can recommend that's more exciting than the lava cam? That's what we're looking for right now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls and texts. Next on K-Rock. All right, you guys, from the 714, Dear Kevin and Bean, I work at an express car wash, and I get to watch my cameras all day long of what goes on in the car wash. It's humorous watching employees and guests alike pick their nose, butts, and whatever you can think of. It's hilarious. We're talking about cams. What cams do you like that you can recommend to the Kevin and Bean listeners? Give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Are there any panda cams left, Dave?
Washington National Zoo.
You still into that one?
Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on.
That's his crack.
Yeah.
Dave loves the pandas the most.
Especially when there's a little baby panda and it sits in the mom's like little pouch area.
Gross.
So cool.
He's enjoying it a little bit too much.
Too much.
Hey, since you're here, let's take a look at a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, shall we?
Yeah. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
Watch me, baby.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all.
Internet Roundup. Oh, watch me, baby.
Internet Roundup.
Check it out, y'all.
Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
Thug life.
There is a great batch of videos going up very shortly at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. One of them, we can't play on the radio. There's no sound. It's a dash cam. Kevin, did you see the one of the beer keg that fell off a truck?
I didn't. I thought I went through all of them.
Guy is driving down the street, and we've all had the unfortunate incident where, like, a little pebble or something comes up and hits your windshield.
Right.
This guy has an entire beer keg, I mean a giant one, that comes flying off the back of a truck so fast and goes right through his windshield. Oh. And it's on the trap. It's on the dash cam.
Free beer.
And he posted a picture of the damage that it did to its car, and it's amazing it did not kill him. You just can't believe. And it happened so fast, there's no way to react to it.
Right.
You know, it's like a missile. So that's a great video. You definitely want to check that out. And Jimmy Kimmel's wife, God bless her, for the third time now, she woke him up in the middle of the night by inviting somebody into the house. And this time it's Miley Cyrus who jumps on the bed and starts smashing Jimmy in the nuts with a wrecking ball, with a hammer, a sledgehammer, I guess, like the wrecking ball video. So it's really, really funny. If you ever wanted to see what Jimmy looks like sound asleep, you'll enjoy that
you
video
don't,
so much.
But it's funny.
Now let's take a look at the ones we can play for you. Obviously, Deadpool 2 is a thing, and Ryan Reynolds is genuinely one of the funniest people in the world. I can't believe how smart and how funny he is. And they were doing a bit on BBC Radio 1 where he and his co-star Josh Brolin, who plays Cable in the movie, are supposed to playground insult each other. So they're sitting across from each other, knee to knee, and they just start whatever they can think of that's mean and funny they say to each other, and it really is worth watching the whole thing. Check it out.
You're so old, you make dust look like a baby.
I'm trying to process that right now. You're tall, you're handsome, you have the perfect amount of scruff, and you still have no talent.
Wow. You're going to say that with a straight face to 1998's MTV Best Kiss nominee Ryan Reynolds?
Okay, let's talk about the obvious thing. Green Lantern. End of career, and yet you're still going. Why? None of us can understand.
Okay, wow. You smell so bad.
Nah.
I can hear it. You're so bad in Goonies that when you come on screen, people don't drink. They punch themselves in the for 5 straight minutes.
He's actually and terrific yet, in Goonies. It's one of my favorite movies.
You actually just felt guilty, didn't you?
I did. I totally did.
Josh, what's your favorite color?
That's funny. Favorite color?
Mediocre.
I mean, come on with Ryan Reynolds, right?
The best.
You smell so, so bad good. I can hear it.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Allie, you saw the new Han Solo Star Wars movie.
I did.
How is Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones in it?
She is stunning. I didn't know it was her the whole time.
Is that right?
Well, she looks so she looks so different.
No
exactly.
idea, but she's got that thing that I think a lot of dudes are into. Same with the lead in Rogue One. That kind of that overbite look.
Overbite look.
Yeah.
That's Bean good look. Knows what I'm saying.
I sure do.
She's got that's a good look.
Why? Because they're both British? Is that?
No, it's an actual overbite.
Yeah. Well, it works on her, and I'll tell you. And she is, she's not only a terrific actress, and obviously everybody loves her from Game of Thrones, but she is very funny, and she sat down on The Tonight Show. And believe it or not, Dave, you're going to be very, you're going to feel vindicated by this. She actually does a worse Chewbacca impression.
How?
Than anyone.
Than anyone.
I don't check know, it out. Man.
Emilia Clarke doing the voice of Chewbacca. Yes. I'd say, ready to jump to hyperspace.
Oh! Oh, my God! That's worse than I thought it was in my head. I was like, it's getting
maybe
really bad.
Stand up. Maybe
terrible.
No, stand up. Maybe it's because you're sitting down.
Okay,
all right, here we go. This is now. Close
chewing.
Your eyes and picture we're in the new Star Wars. Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yeah, everyone at home, close your eyes.
Close your eyes. Ready? All right, and you're supposed to say, watch out, Star Destroyer right ahead.
Oh,
oh, God.
Just sit down.
What's
sit
funny
down.
Is no, that's no, so no, honest. No, that's like as true as I can do.
That is fantastic. I thought mine was bad, but that is really up there. Oh, my God. Who do you play in this film?
This guy, not Chewie, clearly.
I mean, other than me, is there anyone who does a good Chewbacca impression?
Well, Jonas, who plays Chewbacca, does a pretty good one.
Sure.
Yeah, it's good.
Share yours again, Dave.
One. Mine is, okay.
By the way, compared to her, she's going to be great.
Yeah.
That's from the
it's
new.
Not bad.
That's from the
it's
new movie.
That's from Solo.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, in this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, Kevin, I know this is a favorite of yours, and I bet you didn't know what a lynx was until you saw this
video. I didn't.
Am I right about that?
Holy crap! I thought this was fake.
It's terrifying.
I did so much research on lynx after this,
and I want to take them both down. I'm sorry.
You're scared. You're scared because of the noise they make.
I hate the noise they make so much.
Yeah. But you know what? A lot
it's
of the,
freaky.
Like, a lynx, by the way, is a big. It's a big cat, like a like a bobcat or a mountain lion or something like that. It's kind of in between.
But possessed by Satan.
Yes. But you've heard coyotes.
Yes.
You know that they make a terrible, pathetic sound too.
Not as bad as this.
So this guy's in Ontario, Canada, and I don't know what he's doing, but somehow he comes across at pretty close range two of these big cats, two lynxes that are standing face to face. Basically, I mean, it's a showdown, and they are having a conversation about something that apparently is very important in the lynx world. And this is not a joke. This is not Dr. Tape. These are cats making this noise.
And then sometimes when they get closer to each other, they raise the volume.
Oh, yeah.
Almost yeah. like they're just about to fight.
Okay.
I hate it.
It is the stuff of nightmares.
I mean, honestly, though, when I watched that video, I started doing some research because it has to be doctored.
Yeah, totally thought it was
can't
fake.
Can't possibly be real.
Listen, I speak lynx, and I know what they were saying.
Oh.
They were saying, yo, bro, stop checking out my girl. He's like, that's my girl, bro. And he goes, bro, that's my girl. And he goes, you leave my girl alone. That's mine. It's mating calls, bro.
Wow.
That's insane.
You can see the video and all the rest at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all.
Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Nine Inch Nails, one of our favorite bands here on the show. I got a couple of things to tell you. One is there are a few tickets going on sale for their Palladium shows in December at 10 o'clock this morning. So if you did not go and line up to buy them over the weekend, you have a chance online at 10 a.m. for Nine Inch Nails. The other news is you can win a pair if you're a big Nine Inch Nails fan right now at 1-800-520-1067. I know we have a game planned, Kevin. What are we looking for this night?
We are looking for Listener Oki. So your favorite Nine Inch Nails song? Call in and perform it for us.
Oh, dear.
Don't just sing it. Perform it.
Right. Feel it.
Feel it.
So perform like Trent Reznor at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
That's what we're asking.
Yes.
Okay. 1-800-520-1067. Someone who sings us a Nine Inch Nails song will win tickets to sing it again
at the Palladium.
Oh, dear.
Not available. Don't call if you sound like that.
That'll be coming up here on K-Rock First, though, Thursday morning. Allie, what's happening?
Well, congratulations to Veep star Julia Louise Dreyfus. She became this year's recipient of the annual Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. She's the 21st recipient, sixth woman to be honored by the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. Other people that got the honor, Carl Reiner, Richard Pryor, Steve Martin, Tina Fey,
just those
Will
people?
Ferrell, wow. Eddie Murphy, Bill Murray, David Letterman.
Wow. Like,
just huge, huge, huge comic stars. Here's the best part. The center announced the nomination, noting that over four decades, her wildly original characters and her gift for physical comedy have left us in stitches. And Julia responded in typical Julia Louis-Dreyfus fashion. Here's her quote. Merely to join the list of distinguished recipients of this award would be honor enough. But as a student of both American history and literature, the fact that Mr. Twain himself will be presenting the award to me in person is particularly gratifying. I love her so much.
She is awesome.
See, Kevin, because Mark Twain's not alive anymore. That's the joke.
So he can't.
He won't
be there.
Be there.
He will not be there. Right.
That's why
it's funny. I get it.
Yeah, he gets it now. Amazon's Twitch streaming service is holding another one of their TV marathons. This time, streaming over 500 classic Doctor Who episodes from 26 seasons. This will take about 7 weeks, by the way. Yeah, the shows are going to begin May 29th at 1 p.m. Eastern with a 6 or 7 hour live block each day. They've done these marathons before, but nothing quite this extreme. They did 48 hours of Saturday Night Live, as well as marathons for Mystery Science Theater 3000, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and Power Rangers. But 500 Doctor Who episodes.
Okay. So, yeah,
that's a lot.
I can keep all that straight.
Sure.
Absolutely. Why not? This news will please, of course, Bean, because he loves the show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Maisel?
Maisel. Maisel.
Maisel. Neither. Mm-hmm. So neither.
Right, neither.
Okay. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. The upcoming season has added somebody to the cast. He will be playing an eclectic Manhattan doctor who suddenly starts reappearing in the Maisel world.
Okay.
It is a friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
We love him so very much.
I'm so excited.
And Bean is going to be thrilled.
Tell me.
His name is Zachary Levi.
Oh, awesome.
Really? Yes!
Oh, that's wonderful.
Awesome.
I know.
It's a great show, and he's a great actor, so I'm excited.
He's a great actor and a really good dude.
Really good dude.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But an eclectic,
that's great.
Eclectic doctor, right? Mm-hmm. Zachary Levi?
Right.
Okay. What? new animated series in the works from The Simpsons creator Matt Groening and Netflix. It sounds amazing. I'm so into this. Netflix announced yesterday that Disenchantment will debut in August. Would you like to know what the series is about?
Yes, please.
Sure.
This is how Rolling Stone describes it. A hard-drinking young princess named Bean, her feisty elf companion, Elfo, and her personal demon, Lucy. They manage to meet ogres, sprites, harpies, imps, trolls, walruses, and lots of human fools during their adventures in the crumbling medieval kingdom of Dreamland. The first 10 episodes debut in mid-August, and Netflix has already ordered a second season.
All right.
Not even on yet.
So I'm going to have to get used to being called Princess Bean all over again.
Absolutely.
It's
going to
feel just like high school.
There are going to be so many drops from that show.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. Thank you, Mac Rainey.
This is good. You're going to have your version of this.
Oh, I get it now.
Oh, that's not the right one. Nobody asked you, Kevin.
Exactly.
It's going to be so your version. Close.
Not even close.
And how about an animated series from Game of Thrones creator George R.R. Martin?
No. Okay. I'm going to say no to that. Right. I'm going to say you're old and you're not going to live forever. Sit down and finish typing the next goddamn Game of Thrones book.
Wow.
Don't waste your time on other stuff, George.
Wow.
You have a commitment.
Wow. Well, then the Ice Dragon is not for you. It's one of his children's fantasy novels, and it's going to be made into a full-length film. But Bean does not want it.
I feel like I'm with Bean on this
one.
He
wants him to finish Game of Thrones.
Yes, they need to be waking that old man up with a hot poker every morning at 6 a.m. and forcing him to type until midnight.
A lot of us. The stuff coming from your mouth from a guy that has never watched Game of Thrones.
That's not the point. The point is that people need... People need it.
Okay. People do need it.
People want it. He has a responsibility.
Okay. I like that Bean is sticking up for everyone that loves that show.
That's what Bean does.
Yeah.
That's lovely. Bean loves. Mm-hmm. That's what he does. Some birthdays for you. Actor Tommy Chong, actor John C. Reilly, singer Bob Dylan, actress Allison Hannigan, and actor Alfred Molina. And that's what's happening.
I have some concerns that our listeners singing Nine Inch Nails songs
right.
is going to make us long for the good old days of listening to those lynxes yelling at each other. This is a tough ask. That's all I'm saying.
Agreed.
So we're giving away some tickets for Nine Inch Nails at the Palladium. The shows aren't until December. A few tickets going on sale this morning at 10 a.m. But if you're on the line or want to call us right now at 1-800-520-1067, we'll give you a chance to win with a game that we like to call Listener-okie.
Listener-okie. Listener-okie, that's the game we're gonna play. Listener-okie, listener-okie, come and sing and don't be lame.
And just to make sure that we don't have a Kendrick Lamar situation, if there's any cursing, you have to leave it out.
Yes.
Right.
Please.
Yes, that's good advice. And also, I would say this for us, the judges on this end, let's keep in mind the degree of difficulty for singing like Trent Reznor.
Okay.
You know, so
that would be difficult. Agreed.
So I think we have to go a little easier on the listeners this time around than we might, for another artist.
All right, let's start with Art. Hello, Art.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Doing Listener Okie. What are you going to sing for us?
Head Like a Hole.
All right,
I would enjoy that very much.
There you go. God, money, I'll do anything for you. God, money, just tell me what you want me to. God, money, nail me up against the wall. God, money, don't want everything he wants here. No, you can't right. take it.
Okay.
No, I think, you can't take it.
Okay,
no,
thank you, Art.
You can't
okay.
take
right. okay, Art. Got it. Thank you, Art. Please hold on. All right. I mean, technically, he did sing the song.
Mm-hmm. Well, sing?
Technically. He recited the words.
Okay. All right, let's go to Ruben. Hi, Ruben.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Hi. We're doing well. We're doing Listener-okie for Nine Inch Nails. What are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing The Perfect Drug.
All right.
Ooh, love it.
Here's Ruben.
You ready?
Yep.
You are the perfect drug, the perfect drug, the perfect drug. You are the perfect drug, the perfect drug, the perfect drug. You are the perfect drug, the perfect drug, the perfect drug.
Very nice, Ruben. Please hold on. I mean, he didn't know a lot of the words, but the ones he knew,
he really
did a great
sang.
Job with. Yeah, he that went
was,
for it.
That was pretty sweet. All right, let's go to Marcos. Hi there.
Hey, what's up, man? What's up, Kevin and Bean?
Hi. Listener-okie is what's up. What are you going to sing for us? Nine Inch Nails song.
Johnny Cash, Hurt. A Nine Inch Nails Hurt. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. Johnny Cash did a cover of it, yes.
All right. Well, this is going to be quite a come down after hearing what Ruben did. So let's hear the mellow Marcus doing Hurt for us. Good luck.
And I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain. The only that's real.
Okay.
I mean, that song's pretty.
That's all I got, guys.
That was good. That was good. I mean, it was definitely very much like the song. Thank
the
you.
The song is very slow, and he somehow made it slower.
Yes, he did. All right, how about Will, Los Angeles, line four up next on the Kevin Bean Show. Will, what do you think of your competition so far for Listener Rookie?
I'm ready to go.
All right.
I'm going to do my best.
All right, he's in his own lane, man. He's got blinders on. He didn't care what anyone else is doing. He's doing his thing.
About what Will does.
All right, Will, good luck, sir.
Thanks, sir. When should I start?
Anytime.
Okay, thanks. Kind of like a cloud, I was up way up in the sky, and I was feeling some feelings you wouldn't believe. Sometimes I don't believe in myself, and I decided I was never coming down. Just then, a tiny little dot caught my eye. It was just about too small to see, but I watched it way too long. It was pulling me down.
Okay.
Okay. Was that beat poetry?
Beat poetry, right?
I wasn't singing really as much as...
Look, Will's tried and these are hard songs.
Listen.
Right, agreed.
Beer mug put on his beret. He has on a black turtleneck. Things are going good.
I mean, that's what you do. All right, let's go to Mary in Arleta. Hello, Mary.
In Arleta?
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Did you move from Arleta, Mary? Because last time you were in Arleta. I wonder if you'd picked up the family. And... All right, you're going to sing what Nine Inch Nails for a song here for Listener Rookie.
Closer.
Ooh, closer. Closer. And remember Kevin's warning about maybe not saying some of the words we can't say on the radio.
Of course.
Okay.
Here we go. You let me violate you. You let me desecrate you. You let me penetrate you. You let me complicate you. Help me, I broke apart my insides. Help me, I've got no self-esteem.
Okay.
All right. Wait, let's let her get to the...
We
get a sense.
All right.
Yeah, I think we got the gist of it, right? That was the Broadway musical version of Closer. All right. I feel like that's where we end it for right now, but I feel like we had some strong competitors. We got Art, we got Ruben, we got Marcus, we got Will, we got Mary. Now, unless you guys have a favorite, you want to do a drawing?
I mean, I had a favorite.
I had a favorite, too.
Was it
you
Ruben?
Would all say it at the same time?
Yeah, Ruben.
All right, Ruben it is then.
All right. Congratulations, Ruben.
Awesome.
You got the tickets to see Nine Inch Nails, and thanks for playing the game.
Listen to Rookie, listen to Rookie. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Rookie, listen to Rookie. You suck them more lame.
I'd like to hear listener Ruben from Listener Rookie sing that one. I think you do a nice job of that song, too. Hey, Kevin, you're doing your thing at the Galaxy tomorrow night.
Yes. Correct.
Which is sit in your section, watch the game against the Earthquakes at StubHub Center. We'll give away some tickets next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, or a little after 8 o'clock anyway. And we'll also be talking to the captain of the team from the LA Galaxy, Ashley Cole, is going to be joining us too. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
You can also buy those tickets if you would like to at lagalaxy.com/KROQ.
And you should, because this could be a good time. Great way to kick off the Memorial Day weekend. Plus, a bare-knuckle brawl alley between you and the 6 Second Review guy.
We are going at it. It's throwing down on
Star Wars, right?
Absolutely.
So all of that is coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Allie, you sent us an article yesterday from the New York Times that got on your radar, caught your attention a little bit.
Yeah, it is a man named Deb Sopin who sat down with some of the cast of Arrested Development. It was Jason Bateman, Jeffrey Tambor, David Cross, Tony Hale, Will Arnett, Jessica Walter, and Aaliyah Shawkat.
It's a lot of them.
A lot of them. Mm-hmm. And it got really, in his words, really raw. And here's the thing. He brought up the allegations from the set of Transparent. And
that's
Jeffrey Tambor had admitted in a different interview that he was really hard to be around on the set. He was difficult. He was moody. His actions were, I believe his exact quote, unconscionable, but admitted no wrongdoing to sexual harassment, but did admit to being just a complete a-hole on the set of Transparent.
Okay.
That was brought up in the interview. And then it was mentioned by a woman named Jessica Walter. You might know her as Lucille Bluth, that he was the same way on their set. And she brought this up to his face in front of the rest of the cast, and immediately started getting pushback from Jason Bateman, from David Cross, even my beloved Tony Hale.
Yeah.
And when I say pushback, every time she'd speak, Jason Bateman would say, well, not to belittle, but he said not to belittle, but four different times in this interview. And the author of the article on the New York Times has released the audio from the interview. And it's so much harder to listen to because she winds up crying because she is just trying to explain how awful he was. And she keeps getting from Jason Bateman, well, that's just how it is on a set. And she says in 60 years, she was up for Golden Globes when Jason Bateman was 2 years old.
Right.
She knows how the industry works.
Right.
Do not tell her how it is on every set.
It was
disgusting to read. I was furious at this cast for belittling everything she was saying. Everything she was saying was met with, but it was disgusting.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. I agree with you. I mean, for instance, the reporter says, Jeffrey Tambor, you talked about in your Hollywood Reporter interview how you yelled at directors, assistant directors, a transparent creator, Jill Soloway. You even said at one point you lashed at and Jessica Walter jumped in with Jessica Walter, which Jason Bateman immediately says, which we've all done, by the way. Already, I mean, like right out of the gate, he's minimizing. Oh, whatever he did. Look, who hasn't? Who hasn't screamed at somebody on a set? He tried to normalize it when in reality, Jeffrey Tambor was a big bully to her.
Yeah.
It sounds like worse than anything she's ever seen in her whole career.
Oh, it was worse than anything she's ever seen. And then they all kept, well, I yelled at you. And she's like, no, nothing like this. Everything was met with, but. There's actually the first clip that he released, which so many people reacted to, made him release the whole interview. You're going to hear Jason Bateman at the beginning explaining, well, this is common. And then the other castmate, the only one of the cast, the other female, Aaliyah, stands up and says, it doesn't make it right. And then you'll hear it. It's hard to listen to.
It's a very amorphous process, this sort of bullshit that we do, you know, making a fake life. It's a weird thing. And it is a breeding ground for atypical behavior, and certain people have certain processes.
That doesn't mean it's acceptable. And no, the point is that things are changing, and people need to respect each other differently.
I just realized in this conversation that I have to let go of being angry at him. He never crossed the line on our show with any, you know, sexual whatever. Verbally, yes, he harassed me, but he did apologize. I have to let it go, and I have to give you a chance to you know, for us to be friends again.
Absolutely.
But it's hard because, honestly, Jason says this happens all the time. In, like, almost 60 years of working, I've never had anybody yell at me like that on a set. And it's hard to deal with it. But I'm over it now. I just let it go right here for the New York Times.
She didn't give it up for anybody else.
Yeah.
That's a terrible Thanksgiving meal right there.
Yeah, but it continues on with any time she'd say something, not to belittle your point. And to Jason's point, and it is such a disgusting read, and there was such pushback. And people, I have to say, I was actually really impressed with the gentleman on my Twitter that reached out, and they were like, holy crap. That probably happens all the time. Mm. And we're actually hearing audio of it happening by some of our favorite actors that we didn't think would ever do that.
Agreed.
I'm like, yep, that's very true. But for a woman to be speaking out in front of the person that has done this to her.
To his face,
speaking truth to power, and every single man in that room, except Will Arnett, he did try and make jokes about it, which at this point it wasn't time for the jokes. Mm-hmm. Every single man on that cast minimized what she was saying.
It seemed like they were really just trying to spare Jeffrey Tambor's feelings.
Oh, they rushed to his defense.
Not make him face it again.
Absolutely.
It sounds like. So
I was waiting for Jason Bateman's apology because you knew it was coming.
Right.
It came.
Yeah.
So he wound up tweeting out four separate tweets about, I sound like I'm condoning yelling at work. I do not. I sound like I'm excusing Jeffrey. I do not. It sounds like I'm insensitive to Jessica. I'm not. he's horrified by what he heard, and her voice needs to be respected, great, yada, yada. This is not what Arrested Development needed in their publicity tour.
At all.
At all. Not good. Not good.
I'm glad you brought it up, and I'm glad we discussed it, too, because it's easy to have read that article and not kind of paid attention to what was happening because it just seems so common and so normal. But it's not right.
It's not normal.
It's not right. Yeah. So, she should have been taken more seriously and been deferred to because she was saying something that was really, really important there. All right. Quick break here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We come back. Our old friend, the P, Petros Papadakis, joins us next on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:43. He's not dead.
How do you know?
He's not. Why do you always jump to this conclusion? He's not dead.
Because Petros is a friend,
right?
And a reliable broadcaster.
Mm, yes.
And he's a guy who understands, hey, P, we're going to be calling you around 7:35. And P, he's there. He's always there for us.
Most of the time.
He's not there for us today.
I mean, it doesn't mean he's dead. It just means perhaps he's napping, sleeping, doing errands, forgot. Mm.
Who's asleep at 7:30 in the morning? Come on.
He's already been up. He's done yoga.
Yeah.
You know how P does. Yeah.
I mean, you can look at him and you can see that. You can see his dedication to his body.
He's a specimen.
I'm just saying, if he were alive.
He is alive.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
Do
you
know
don't
that.
Have any more reason to believe that he's alive than I have to believe that he's dead. Have you seen him? Have you seen him or heard from him this morning?
No. But just because that's the case.
I mean, that's a great point, though.
It's not proof of death, however.
You haven't heard from him,
right,
though.
But it's not proof of death, is what I'm saying.
It's not proof of life.
It could be a million other things rather than jumping straight to death, which is what Bean does when we're sick as well.
Well, look, I am going to feel terrible when I turn out to be right, because it would be a horrible thing to lose to Pete. No, I'm just saying, I don't want it to be true, but the facts are indisputable.
There's no facts.
At this point,
he was supposed to be on the phone. There aren't any facts other than that.
There's no other explanation that is possible other than the P is God. So
his last tweet was a retweet 11 hours ago. You want to maybe rethink that, Kevin?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
He's fine.
In 11 hours, that guy hasn't gone online?
Right.
P?
Right?
Yeah. Come on.
Well, now I'm bummed out. Now we don't have time to talk about the thing we were going to talk to P about.
Him.
Right.
I miss him, too. Oh, he was such a great guy.
You guys,
so nice.
Stop it. He's still fine.
Great family man.
He's fine.
Oh, loved his Greek heritage.
He's just fine.
Not a great football player.
Not great.
But
he'll admit it.
He'll be the first to tell you.
Right.
At least he's fine. At least we've got tape of him, so it'll be like he's here. Right, P?
I don't know. Ask Tori Spelling's mom.
I mean, at least we've got... At least you'll still be a member of the Kevin and Bean Show forever, right, P?
Oh, that's right.
See? And I'm sorry about the whole dead thing.
I don't know why that had to be brought in.
Well, because you were supposed to be on the phone and you weren't.
That doesn't mean he's dead. I want to say again, nothing wrong with missing a phone call.
We love you, P.
Thank you. Have a great day and fight on.
Right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Perhaps we need to get Matt Money Smith on for his remembrance, his thoughts of the late P. Perhaps.
Here's what I will say. We've done this show for 28 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know that more has gone wrong in one day than today.
It has been remarkable.
I honestly think there hasn't been a single day where more has gone wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, I think you're correct.
It's impressive. It really is impressive.
And then Petros just made it worse.
He didn't die. He just didn't answer his phone.
He put us all in a very bad situation, as a great man once said. All right, 7:55. We're going to talk Solo, a Star Wars story, coming up right at the after the top of the hour. First, though, Allie is here with another What's Happening.
Petros is the JFK of the show.
Exactly.
He's in a really bad situation.
He is.
I love it so much. So the new album from Panic at the Disco comes out June 22nd. They've already given us two songs.
And I love them both.
Amazing, right? Well, are you ready for a third?
Very much so.
Yes, please.
All right. Well, it's a new single dropped yesterday. It is called High Hopes. God damn it. Brandon has never sound better. Those are the links from the video.
Those are real animals, people.
Oh, how dare you.
All right, here's the song.
Mama said, don't give up. It's a little complicated. All tied up, no more love. And I'd hate to see you waiting. Had to have high hopes for living. Shooting for
in.
They give me the happies.
Right? Yeah. Same. Yeah.
Everything they do just makes me happy.
Agreed. That's one of those bands that you can't listen to and walk away depressed. They just cheer you up no matter what.
Well, if you like that song,
we feel fine even though Petros died. You know?
Right back up. This is awesome. Well, if you like that song and you're a fan of the NHL, looking forward to the Stanley Cup, you're going to hear it a lot.
Ah.
Because it is being used in the Stanley Cup Finals promotional campaign.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool because they're Vegas guys and the Las Vegas Knights are in the finals. So that's cool. Do you think Brendan likes hockey?
No.
I don't know. Think he wears like a crushed velvet leopard blazer to a game?
I
just drinks a beer?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I love the thought of that. Again, Pray for the Wicked drops June 22nd. But what got me to listen to that song was the article from Billboard that says, Panic at the Disco unleashes a bombastic new song, High Hopes. And I thought, Have I heard that word before?
Mr. Bombastic, baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
Anytime we can play that, it makes me happy.
Right, same.
Oh, it's
Muggs
good.
Has the same effect on us as Panic at the Disco.
He really does.
I get it.
Oh, hey, Pete.
Hey.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw to you. How you feeling?
Glitter.
Okay. Well, good to hear from you.
Extra ranch.
Well, not sure what that's in reference
to. It's not ranch.
Oh,
Kevin.
You.
We were all having fun.
No.
Yes, we're still all having fun.
The pace of the elephant is slow.
That's a good point.
But crushing.
It is crushing.
That went south so fast.
Oh, this freaking day is crushing. Really?
Oh, that's right.
It's true, right, Pete?
Intercourse?
The greatest hits of our former friend, R.I.P.
I miss him.
Petros.
Well, it turns out that vinyl is still really big in the U.K. The new album by the Arctic Monkeys sold 24,500 LPs in the first week. That makes Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino the fastest-selling vinyl LP in the U.K. in the last 25 years. Mm. That's not bad, right?
Right.
How mad is Liam Gallagher? As You Were held the previous record. It had 16,000 vinyl copies sold in the first week.
The Arctic Monkeys are so big in the UK.
Yeah, they are.
They are a superstar band over there.
Absolutely. And deservedly so.
Agreed.
Right, P?
The Colombian tongue monster.
Is what Alex is known as over there in the UK.
That's true.
A lot of people didn't know that.
Well, it hasn't come over here, so.
Kevin's crazy.
How dare you? How dare you? Shut up, Alex. Isn't that funny?
I love not having pee on.
Love you guys. Have a great day. Popo's out.
Popo's out of you. Happy birthday to Tommy Chong, John C. Reilly, Bob Dylan, Allison Hannigan, and actor Alfred Molina. And that's what's happening.
It's go time. Galaxy fans, stand by. About 15 minutes from right now, we'll have the captain of the Galaxy, Ashley Cole, is going to be on the phone with us, and we'll give away a pair of tickets to see him and the team and our man Kevin in his section at the Galaxy game at StubHub Center tomorrow night versus San Jose. All that coming up in about 10 minutes. All right, gloves are on, Allie.
Gloves are on.
What's happening? Why is there a rift between
you
two?
Give me the big music. Give me the big music. And let's bring our friend Russ Leatherman back to the show. He is the movie man at 6secondreviews.com. Hey, Russ, why are you making Allie cry?
What's up, lesbians?
You guys got into it on social media the other day with your... It seemed to me that you had some conflicting reviews over Solo or Star Wars Story. Am I wrong about that?
It started long before a few days ago.
Oh, did it?
It was whenever Russ saw the first movie and he tweeted, sometimes there can be too much Star Wars. And I said, I will call the cops on you.
Tell them what?
This is unacceptable. I don't like it.
He threatened to call the police on me.
Now,
Russ, she's a little crazy.
In Russ's defense, though, this is the fourth Star Wars movie in 3.5 years. Do you have a little Star Wars fatigue, Russ?
Well, it's funny you say that. And I think it was hashtag Hans Blolo.
Yep. Sure was. That's what sent me over the edge. I was going to mention it. I was giving you a pass.
Yeah, well, there is a little fatigue. right? And as everybody knows, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it ad nauseum, this is an origin story, right? So right. This goes back before, you know, before you knew the characters as they are. Hans meets Chewbacca, and a lot of stuff going on. But let's play a clip.
Yeah. Seat taken.
Nobody's in the seat that I ain't taking, friend.
So this is Sabacc?
Sabacc. Got it.
You played before? A couple times, yeah.
Captain Lando Calrissian.
Han Solo. Looks like you're having a good day.
I'm a lucky guy.
Can I ask you a question, Captain Calrissian?
Anything, Han.
That's Han, but that's okay. I heard a story about you. I was wondering if it's true.
Everything you've heard about me is true.
And that's the whole movie.
I don't know why. That's a weird clip to have chosen, Russ.
Well, almost like you choose a clip.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
All right. So, what do you think when you hear that? Because I could argue that Star Wars fans would be excited to know how Han and Lando met.
I haven't seen it yet, and I can't wait.
Well, here's what I think. Here's your 6-second review.
The Movie Man. 6-second review starts now.
It's starting to feel like too much, but for fans to miss Solo, a Star Wars story would be a Wookiee mistake. Come in.
See okay. What I did there?
Yeah. So go see it. Go
Russ,
see it.
Look at that.
We're back.
A Wookiee mistake.
Wookiee mistake.
I like it.
You guys are back together.
Thanks, Allie. I'm sort of with Allie, and here's the problem with having in or out as my rating scale.
Right.
There's sort of no in between, right? And with this movie, there is such a thing as fatigue. There's such a thing as managed scarcity. And for those of you who never heard of that term, well, here's what it means is, you know, if you had, let's say you had the Movie Man on your show every week, people be like, oh,
that's too much.
Movie Man,
right.
That's too much. But you have me on every few weeks, people are like, what up? Bring me more Movie Man.
I love that you're now doing impressions.
Right? I don't even know who that is. But I feel like that's the case with this franchise. There's nothing particularly wrong with the movie, right?
It's okay.
I think the actors do an okay job, although how you jump in Harrison Ford's shoes, almost impossible.
Yeah, who could have?
Nobody.
Right.
Donald Glover probably does the best job. I like him the most in the movie, right, Allie, would you say?
I actually was a little partial to the new droid.
Oh, good
God. It's back on. You going to call the police? Are you going to call the police again?
Donald Glover was wonderful.
Okay.
I had reservations about, what's his name, Alden, what?
Aaron Reich.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was a little concerned.
Sure.
Wasn't sure he could do it. I'm telling you. At the beginning, I was like, middle of the movie, I'm like, hey, all right, this is going good. End of the movie, I'm like, give me more, Han.
All right.
He grows on you throughout the whole movie. I thought the movie was so fun. It's charming. And it's like classic to me. It felt more Star Wars than, say, a Rogue One. It felt very Star Wars. But then you mix in kind of a Western thing. And it was
Wait
great.
A second. Isn't this my time?
It's supposed
to
be,
bad.
Yeah.
My bad. Sorry. My bad. Go ahead.
It's supposed to be. But let me ask you a question, Russ. It sounds like you are a little less enthusiastic than Allie just
right Yeah, now. or nothing she said is correct at all.
It is a classic Star Wars feel done in a Western.
Is there that classic Star Wars scroll at the beginning of the movie?
There can't be a scroll because it's a standalone. Oh.
You could still roll up some words, play
no.
some music.
But rolling up the words, does that ruin a movie?
It sort of does, because
what?
Here is what's happening. And Allie, I'm with you. This movie is a C plus if you're generous, right?
No.
Allie would Mm-mm. say what?
I would say it's a strong B.
B plus.
Strong B.
Nope.
Okay. All right. Hey, I have a. I have not seen the movie, but I do have one question for both of you guys. Mm-hmm. Because it was so highly publicized that they fired the directors halfway through the Miller and Lord team. They fired them and brought in Ron Howard. Do you get any sort of sense of that in the film, that it looks like there's some sort of a change at some point in it, or it's not as consistent from start to finish as it might be had it had been under one person?
Allie, you've taken over the movie reviews. Go ahead.
Bitter is not a good look for you, Russ.
Wow. It just felt like a linear story. No, not at all. And I think he reshot the majority of it anyway, so it was his movie.
It felt like a movie born in a boardroom. Right? Like, this is an opportunity for them to just reach into your back pocket and take some more of your money. And I'm not saying that that's a terrible thing. I think the fanboys will probably okay with it. I think that people in general will not hate this movie, but I did not walk away with any of those special Star Wars feelings you're describing. And may I suggest your feelings are coming from something else entirely. I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, my vagina, you mean.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to separate you two, apparently.
I just thought it was a super fun movie. I think people will enjoy it. People are not going to get into the core, like, well, what does this mean? That's not canon. Shut up.
Well,
enjoy a freaking movie.
Do you think they should do an origin movie for each one of these characters? I mean, what's next? The Porgs? I mean, what's next?
I hope.
No, you need origin stories of the main people. You need a Luke, you need a Han, you need Princess Leia would have been wonderful, and you need an Obi-Wan. That's it.
You think they're going to stop there? That is my problem, is you don't have any of that managed scarcity, right? Like, make me wait a year till I'm super excited to see another Star Wars movie, and don't give me one every 4 to 6 months, because I have fatigue.
I can tell you this. It'll be a year before you're back on this show, Russ. You want some managed scarcity? You just earned yourself some managed scarcity, my friend.
By the way, think how excited people will be.
Exactly. 6secondreviews.com is the website, on Twitter at the number 6secondreviews. Solo, A Star Wars Story, in theaters everywhere. Thanks, Russ. We love you.
I'll talk to you on the internet, Allie.
All right.
I'm just saying, if you decide you're going to be a soccer player like Ashley Cole. 4 Premier League titles, 7 FA Cups, a UEFA Championship League title, and now he's on the Galaxy preparing to do it again for us. Ashley, defender, team captain of our Los Angeles Galaxy. Welcome to the Kevin Beach Show, sir. How are you?
How are you?
We're very good.
Let's talk about the game Friday night. You're playing against San Jose Earthquakes. What's your role as the captain? What do you do as the captain? Before the game, during the game?
Yeah, I think it's going to start today in preparation for the game, obviously, tomorrow. You know, it's kind of a big game for us. We don't like losing against kind of another rival. And, you know, we need to guard the table. So tomorrow is important to get the 3 points. So it's probably just kind of demanding everyone works hard in training today and focuses on a big game tomorrow.
Is it difficult when you have been a player on a team and then are named captain, that does everybody kind of treat you differently now because you're the boss?
No, I don't kind of see myself like that. You know, I mentioned before in another interview, I need these guys on my side and to help me through it. Like you mentioned, it's the first time I've been a captain, so it's not just about kind of wearing the armband. We're out there as 11 and, of course, the 7 subs. So I need everyone to kind of help me through this season because, you know, I'm a newbie to this. So I definitely need their help and input with it.
Now, in the last game against Montreal, Ibra got a red card and went off, and the Galaxy still won. How does a player getting sent off and you playing with 10 affect you? Clearly, you won the game 1-0. Is it a lot harder or is it just an easy transition?
No, for me, I think it's an easy transition. I think, you know, we train these kind of scenarios. If you go man down, it's just normal. That's what you do in training. But I think the lads battled well. Never gave up. You know, goalkeeper made some great saves. And it was an important victory, I think. You know, on the road, always to take a point is good enough. And we took 3 with 10 men. So you have to kind of give the lads credit for that. But again, I think tomorrow is going to be a totally different game.
Are there any vast differences? I always feel like a red card is something that is the referee's discretion sometimes. Do you see any differences based on what stadium you're playing in? You know that some places are going to be a little tougher than others to get away with stuff?
No, I don't think so. I don't think in terms of atmospheres, the refs kind of influence. But I think, you know, when you're walking in the tunnel and you see the referee who he is, then you know someone's going to get sent off. it's not down to the fans. I think it's down to the actual referee. We know straight away if it's going to be a difficult day just by looking at their faces.
I imagine that a slap to the head is an easy call for any ref, though.
Yes, in that particular case, yes. Don't do that.
Yeah, I know straight away I'm getting the yellow card, so I'll take the yellow already before the game's even started.
All right, let me ask you that. What do you do when you're suspended for a game because you've had too many yellow cards and Ibra has a red card? What do you do during the game? Do you just watch it from home? Are you at the stadium? How do you?
Yeah, well, for this game, obviously, they played away, so I could watch it on the TV because I had to come in and train. But home games, if you're sent off, yeah, you have to sit in a box. You're not allowed in the changing room. You're not allowed to kind of come down and be around the team. So you just end up sitting in the box, basically, and watching the game. You're not really too much involved.
It sounds like you have to go to the principal's office.
Exactly.
But at least you can drink during the game then, Ashley.
No. Them days are over, mate. I'm 37. Them drinking days are gone. The partying days are over.
Ashley Cole is on the phone from the Los Angeles Galaxy. We do this from time to time, and it's always a great night, which is the K-Rock Night at the Galaxy. And it happens to be this very important game that Ashley's talking about against the Earthquakes tomorrow night at StubHub Center. You can go to galaxy.com/K-Rock to buy this package that also includes beer and access to an exclusive post-game autograph session. Or you can win them right now from the Kevin and Bean Show to sit in Kevin's section. 1-800-520-1067. First three callers win the tickets to join us tomorrow night. Kevin, where is your section? Where can Ashley see you when he's out on the field?
It's right next to the LA Riot Squad. So they're the loud, rowdy ones.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll know where that is. What do you want him to do? Look up and wave?
Yeah, maybe wave. You're like, hey, there's a guy with a huge head. That must be Kevin.
Yeah, just get you tug an ear or something just to let you guys know you didn't get that connection. I don't know.
All right, one more question.
I'll try to find you.
Yeah, don't feel like you have to. One more question. Cristiano Ronaldo has been asked a lot of questions because leading up to the UEFA Champions League final, and he says that you're the most difficult defender he's ever played against.
Hmm.
Is that a surprise?
It's quite the response.
Is that a question? Is my question?
I'm not surprised.
You're not.
I think it's difficult for some players. You know, when they're asked that question. But I've played against him. You know, on many occasions. So I probably think that influences it. When you play against someone once, it's probably hard to say. You know, that's the best player you've played against. But we had some good battles over the years. So I think that's his reason why.
But he could probably lay off the manscaping of his eyebrows, though, right? A little bit?
I'm not talking about eyebrows.
Okay. I'm just saying. It's a bit much.
We're just putting that out there.
Okay.
I'm saying Ashley has learned a lot. Being a captain, he knows what to say and what not to say.
Right?
All right. Well, have a great time out there tomorrow night. Have a great rest of the season. Really fun to have you on the show. We enjoyed it. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you very much, guys.
Bye. You bet. Minutes away from a four-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets for the Pixar Fest. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. By the way, Dave's still looking for Petros Papadakis, our late friend who used to be on the radio. Did not answer for a scheduled interview this morning. I'm sure he's dead.
He's fine. He's not dead. He's fine.
I'm telling you he's dead.
He's fine.
Dr. Drew, if you're scheduled to do an interview with somebody at 7:35 a.m. and they're reliable as all hell, and then they just are unavailable at 7:35, you don't hear from them, they don't respond to your text, like it was the case with Petros this morning, that means he's dead, right?
Or he hates you.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Another option.
I'd prefer him dead.
I think so, too. Well, listen, Doc, I'm so glad you're with us for your Thursday visit because tapeworms are back in the news, and you know how we love tapeworm stories.
Yes, this is a classic Kevin and Bean story.
Oh, my God.
This one, tell me you saw the minor league hockey player. He's in the system with the Columbus Blue Jackets. His name is Carson Mayer, and he was very sick, he was very sick last season, wasn't even able to play, lack of appetite. He lost a bunch of weight. He was falling asleep. Went to multiple doctors, they could not find anything wrong with him. They ruled out all the things like mono that made sense. And then he's on the toilet. He's going to the bathroom, as he says, just like normal. And it came out. And what it was a 25-inch tapeworm.
Oh, God.
25 inches, Drew. Now, could you bring us up to speed with how that even happens? How do you get a creature of that size living inside your body?
Oh, they can be quite a bit bigger than that.
No, no.
Really?
No.
Oh, yes. And what happens before you crap the whole guy out, oftentimes you're crapping out pieces of him called the proglottid.
Oh!
Yeah, which are each of these. Tapeworms are hermaphrodites, so each little proglottid is a little reproductive unit. So here's the deal. The typical ones, one is fish, one is pork. He got Diphyllobothrium lata, which is the fish one. And that's actually the least severe of them. And it gets in there. It has, look at the pictures of the head of a tapeworm.
No!
No, it really looks like it. You can't believe nature created something like this.
I don't want to.
It is the paradigm for all the horror movies. I'm telling you, they must have looked at that and just sketched their pictures off of that. It's called the head is, it anchors, it's got a bunch of hooks on it, and it anchors itself in your colon. Now, mind you, I have to always remind you guys that the interior of your colon is outside your body. It's a tube, right? So this giant worm, is just sitting in this tube outside your body, but it hooks into the wall of the colon, and it can suck out some of your nutrients, classically a B12 deficiency, and it's a chronic irritant. You can get sick, like the guy did. But it's usually not life-threatening, except occasionally the larva from these proglottids can break through the wall of the colon, get into your other organs.
Oh, man.
Particularly something called cysticercosis, which are larval masses that set up in your brain.
Oh dear God.
I didn't know it could get worse than what happened to this kid.
Yes, the outside the body little tapeworm sitting in your tube is not that big a deal.
Oh, it is that big a deal.
Well, it's big a deal when you crap it out and you crap again because you see it. But it's in and of itself, it just sort of makes you chronically.
How big can it get? I want an answer to that question because you said 25 inches. It can get. You said a lot bigger.
I think they can get like 6 feet.
No, sir.
I think certain varieties get very big. I do.
Listen. He went in for a lot of tests because he couldn't figure out what was wrong with him.
Yeah.
It's not detectable by any of the tests that they would have done?
It's outside your body, right?
And you keep saying that. I don't understand that.
It's like outside of your beehole, he's saying.
No. Right. No? Your beehole to your mouth is a tube. Right?
Right.
It's all outside your body.
I don't understand what that means.
I don't either.
It's not on your skin, Drew.
It's not outside our body.
It's the same as your skin. It's a tube.
But it's not outside of our...
Yeah, where's the tube?
The tube is from your mouth to your beehole.
But that's inside your body. It's not outside your body.
It's within your body, but it's not in your body. It doesn't get into the tissue of your body, except with the head that sucks onto the side of the colon.
See, you had me thinking that a little worm was just hanging on the outside of my beehole.
No, it's not like a tail.
And like you don't notice it 25 inches for a long time.
You should notice that.
It's why all the colonic nonsense is such nonsense, because they're washing out a tube. It's like, who cares? Nothing in there that gets to your body. Your body holds that tube and all the stuff comes through.
Got it.
I see.
So the tapeworm sits in there and enjoys itself and sucks what it needs from you. And, but it's good times, and it's common throughout the world. Listen,
it doesn't feel like good times.
And listen, worm parasites are very common throughout the world. We used to see lots of it. I mean, people think there's an immigration problem these days, but back in the 80s, there used to be actually, I don't know what the numbers are, but it seemed like more, and people coming up with a lot of parasitic infections.
Hmm.
Something called Ascaris lumbricoides was all the time. And we would see cysticercosis like every day. And we would laugh at the textbooks, because at the very end of the neurological textbooks on seizure, they go, oh, there's these rare conditions that you'll never see called cysticercosis, and we just saw it every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the key here is to stay away from undercooked fish and undercooked pork, right?
Yes, this is, I think people are aware that they got to cook their meat. It's just a general note. Cook meat well. Chicken is another one. You can get these common diarrhea illnesses from that if you don't cook it well. Fish, I mean, there are other strange things you can get from sushi, believe it or not, stranger than this one.
How dare you. How dare you.
And then
you.
Pork and beef, you can get some weird tapeworm
stuff. So, Drew, how do I get myself like a tapeworm that I can then control and get rid of after I've lost the weight that I want?
So, like 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a diet.
You're gone.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe get an app for your tapeworm.
That's what I'm saying. How do I do that?
Yeah, tape app. I don't know. I'm not sure that the tapeworms are amenable to electronic manipulation, but There are people that are doing this, believe it or not, tapeworm therapies and things.
No.
Not legitimate people, but I hear of people doing this sort of thing. And to be fair, it's not necessarily associated with weight loss. It isn't. So you can get just a little fatigue or nothing. You can literally have no symptoms and have a giant worm living in you.
Oh, that's some BS.
Wow, that is some BS.
What's the point of that? Let me just read this sentence one more time before we say goodbye to Dr. Drew. It was a 25-inch tapeworm. The head, the neck, and all of the segments, about 50 of them, it was orange. That's the description of the tapeworm that ended up in his toilet.
And it's got a cool name, Diphyllobothrium.
Now, I would like to read one sentence to Drew as well. The guy says, I FaceTimed my mom and said, what the hell is this thing? Who FaceTimes their mom and shows them their poop?
Forget show them the poop. It was while he was pooping. And I've asked my children, please not to do that.
Please don't do that.
This is the worst conversation ever.
It's not great.
DrDrew.com for all the podcasts, live appearances. Don't forget Monday through Friday from noon till 3 on 790 KABC. That's on the AM band, kids. And you can get a doctor in your own home through the Heal app, wherever you get yours, at the App Store or Google Play. Drew, we love you. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys. See you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
I mean, he looked old, but he was actually a young guy, and he had a young family, too.
He was
getting
right back into shape. Yeah. I mean, he was looking good.
I mean, they had a baby.
You guys,
and a
just because somebody doesn't answer the phone doesn't mean they're dead.
Usually, though.
No, not usually. Yeah. Almost never.
But most of the time, though.
Yeah.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Is P alive?
Yeah. It might mean the phone is down.
Boom.
The phone was down.
It's just a phone problem. Huh.
Well, yeah, but I have gotten about 150 texts that have asked me now if I'm dead.
Well,
I appreciate
what happens is when you're supposed to be on the show and we call and you don't answer, Bean automatically says you die. Yeah, you must be dead.
And it came close because I was frantically trying to get the cable back. Because now I'm on my cell phone, which doesn't work very well. And my wife got up on a ladder and tried to poke at this branch with a rake.
Sounds like a quality attempt.
Yeah, and then I got up there and I did the same thing. And then I gave up in anger. I threw the rake. It's now in my neighbor's yard.
Sweet.
And I started yelling at Cox Cable on the telephone. So it's been a great morning, but no, I came close to being electrocuted like the kid in the ice storm, but I'm okay. But I'm sorry that I missed it.
It's fine.
Sorry I'm alive. I'm sorry.
No, we're delighted you're alive. And I'll tell you, if you get the opportunity, you ought to listen to the conversation we had because we eulogized you. And I think we were all sad that you were gone. I think all of us were really kind of bummed out.
I hope you guys would play like indie rock and a little bit of dancehall reggae at my funeral as opposed to, you know, what you play.
I already had a call into Pato Banton to make it.
Well, no, you're not invited.
I knew it.
No Pato.
So you're okay, Petros. You're alive. You're okay.
I'm alive. Okay. I have a lot of issues. I sleep with a sleep mask. I have cholesterol problems.
Okay.
I don't
need this much information.
I have a cadaver bone in my right foot. Okay. There's a staph infection in the bone.
You had a nipple ripped off, remember?
Missing a left nipple, just
right.
A tip.
But right. You're alive, but you're alive.
Okay. Purposes. I should have been there for the interview, and
it's
I'm
all right.
Sorry to the listeners. I'm sorry.
But
I'm sorry.
This is just good news, though, Pete, because you're alive. Mm-hmm.
That's all we care about. An apology accepted, and have a great show today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
It's like having a dream where you thought you died, and then you wake up, and you're alive.
A lot like that.
Right. All right, Pete, we got to go. On that note,
love you. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Love
it's
you
all right.
Too.
We're just happy you're alive. Okay, we'll see you soon. Pope was hell. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I guess I was
How
wrong
about that?
This one time. I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah.
I guess
one
Pete
time.
Yeah,
lived.
That was
Every
shocking.
Every single time someone is late, Bean says dead.
Allie is here. Time for another look at what's happening on a Thursday morning.
What do you think of Idris Elba?
I love him.
Wonderful. He's going to be directing and producing a little film about Quasimodo. And he's going to be playing the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Why take one of the handsomest people who's ever been born and make him play an ogre?
I love it so much because he is going to be the most bangable ogre ever. Like,
is that
never,
a category?
Yeah. At first I was like, I don't know. I can maybe think about Shrek, you know, Scottish, sure. Whatever. But no, this is going down. This is good. It's a new live action Netflix movie. So we have that to look forward
all right.
to. New casting is underway, and they have settled on a young man named Jay Ryan for the movie It Chapter 2. He is going to be playing the adult version of Ben Hanscom. He is apparently really big in all different countries on all different shows, but here's why I'm telling you the story. We all knew that it was going to be all of the adult versions of the kids from the original movie.
Right.
Do you know who is playing the kids?
I don't.
Oh, let me tell you.
I don't.
James McAvoy.
Okay.
Jessica Chastain.
Wow.
And Bill Mother Effin' Hader.
What?
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
Wow.
That's an amazing cast. Yeah, they're playing the adult versions of the kids in the first movie, Bill, Richie, and Beverly. And, of course, Bill Skarsgård will be back
as
Pennywise.
I loved It so much. Oh, it's so good.
I mean, It Chapter 2
yes.
might be, it might be, dare I say, Godfather 2 to the original Godfather. See what I did there?
So you're trying, yes. So you're trying to say it might be better.
That's what I'm saying.
Than the first one.
That's what I'm saying.
That depends a lot on the writing because the first one was really good.
Yeah, I also haven't seen Godfather 2.
Right.
But I have heard good things. Right.
But and, we have a holiday weekend coming up.
Sure
and
do.
I hope that you're going to carve out a couple hours for that great movie.
I just might. And I'm going to tell you right now, I plan on seeing a Bond movie.
What? When?
Sometime.
Okay.
But sometime right. soon, but...
What does soon mean?
I need to find out which one to watch first, and I know that is just going to create a whole problem for
just
people.
Just put that on Twitter. You won't have an issue.
Okay.
No worries.
All right, maybe I'll do that. I want to talk about this next hour, because I don't know how this works, but you know Paige VanZant, the yes. UFC fighter. She's rocking a couple new additions to her body. And she told TMZ, yep, I did get a boob job. And she claims her real ones, quote, never came, so I bought them. And I say, good for you, that's wonderful, but oh my God, what if she gets kicked?
Yes, well,
isn't that, like,
maybe
medically...
Maybe that's your move after you retire.
Yeah, I just don't know how that Ooh. All works in a cage.
I don't feel like they're safe. I've seen those fights.
I don't either. I'm a little worried right now.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Listen, if you've got a boob job and you've been in a UFC fight, give a call. 1-800-522.
No?
Okay. Some birthdays for you. Tommy Chong, John C. Reilly, Bob Dylan, Alfred Molina, and I have been saying Allison Hannigan all morning.
And you're so happy.
Because I love her
it.
So
yes,
much.
So do
she
we
is
all.
Such a wonderful human being.
She
we
is.
All adore her.
Agreed.
So she sent
so we're
me,
really happy that it's her birthday.
Really happy because I want to celebrate her
sure.
every day, but at least I get to do it on this one day. Hi, Allie. Thanks so much for the birthday shout out. Only thing, my birthday is March 24th, but still, it's nice to hear. And it reminded me, we have done this not once, not twice, but three times. Because, yep, hit it, sad bassoon.
I mean,
it
only
comes,
2 months late.
It comes on the wrong birthday list. So, Allison Hannigan, I hope you enjoyed your birthday on March 24th,
mm-hmm.
but I hope you have an even better day today.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together right. here
okay.
because we're all looking just really, really, yeah. really sloppy.
Okay, that's our
bad. I totally agree. So, happy birthday 2 months ago, Allison Hannigan. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43. I'm used to Allie talking about murder in that she wants to make sure she never gets murdered.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Giving advice to others on how not to get murdered.
Right.
Right.
Now I'm starting to worry that she's going to do the murdering.
I mean, it's been a day.
It has been a day.
It has been a day.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to get in Allie's sights today, you guys. We need to call ahead and have the roads cleared so you have a clear shot home because you don't want to encounter any humans on your drive.
I mean, it doesn't help that everything she tried to do wouldn't work.
I know.
No big deal.
That didn't lead to the frustration at all. So.
Exactly.
All good. Yeah.
But you have survived, and you've done an excellent job, and we do have time for just one more What's Happening here on this Thursday morning. Don't shoot me.
I would never.
Just a shout-out to the company. Well done. Doing a bang-up job with switching over. Good job.
How about I give something away? Give a little bit back.
There you go.
Right? The kids love it. This movie looks so funny. It's called Action Point. It's Johnny Knoxville as the wackadoodle owner of a low-rent, out-of-control amusement park. The ride's not really designed for safety, but they are designed for fun.
Right.
The movie looks great. It's in theaters June 1st, but I'd love to give five winners a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere of Action Point.
It's a trap!
No, I'm giving them away at the Arclight Hollywood on May 31st. Let's take callers 10 through 14, and you are all going to get a pair of passes to that red carpet premiere. Good luck! I mean, it's been a couple days without somebody that we absolutely love being accused of something horrible.
Yeah.
So buckle up.
Yeah.
Eight women have accused Morgan Freeman of sexual misconduct. This
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. This is a CNN report about the actor's alleged inappropriate behavior. It describes multiple troubling incidents throughout his career. In all, 16 people spoke to CNN about him as part of the investigation. Eight witnesses and eight who claimed to be the victims. So it's a lot. Things that he said to young assistants. Mm-hmm. And it's not just on movie sets. There are also three entertainment writers also included that said that he said and did some really inappropriate things on press junkets as well. So, god damn.
Right?
Is all I have to say.
So now we're not allowed to like The Shawshank Redemption.
Well, you can like Tim Robbins.
Okay.
Bernie bro. Please don't email me, Bernie bros. I don't want it. I don't need it.
Not today.
Damn, I love Tim Robbins. Mark Wahlberg was recently on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and he was talking about how he really wanted to get his kids back into science, and he was trying to figure out a cool way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Ellen that his favorite show growing up that got him into science was Captain Kangaroo. Do you guys remember that show?
I don't.
Mr. Green Jeans? Green Pants?
I do remember that.
I had no idea that it was had anything to do with science, that show.
Well, it ran from October 3rd, 1955 to December 8th. It is the longest-running nationally broadcast children's television program of its day.
December 8th of what year, though?
1984. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah,
just guess.
That's
however long you wanted to
works
run.
For you.
Did I not say the year?
No, it's a key. It started in 55, but you didn't say when it ended. I was like, it's a key component of that fact.
Yeah. So he was trying to get his kids interested in science, technology, engineering, and he was thinking about what made him interested in school. And he said that was Captain Kangaroo. Captain Kangaroo made him love school because Captain Kangaroo dug school.
Okay.
Right. I don't know. So he's going to bring back Captain Kangaroo is what
boring.
I'm saying. Mark Wahlberg said we are bringing back a cool STEM scientist as Captain Kangaroo.
Boring.
He says he doesn't know when it's going to air yet or if it is even going to air. It's still in its infancy, but they're really trying to make it happen.
What's the point of this story?
All right, moving on.
I'll give it a try, but it sounds boring.
Okay. A Veep star, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, became this year's recipient of the annual Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. She is the 21st recipient. Other big names, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Bill Murray, David Letterman, Will Ferrell, Tina Fey, Bob Newhart, Lily Tomlin. She's in really good company is what I'm saying. They noted that over four decades, her wildly original characters and her gift of physical comedy have left us in stitches. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus, in true Julia Louis-Dreyfus form, responded with, merely to join this list of distinguished recipients of the award would be honor enough. But as a student of both American history and literature, the fact that Mr. Twain himself will be presenting the award to me in person is particularly gratifying.
She's funny.
God, I love her so, so very much.
Same.
And great news for Bean. We talked about this earlier. And great news in general, if you watch the show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, the upcoming second season will feature one of our favorite people, Zachary Levi.
It's a trap!
No, again, it's not. He will be playing an eclectic Manhattan doctor who suddenly starts reappearing in the Maisel world. That's going to be good. He's wonderful. We love him so much. And something I now can't wait for, a new animated series in the works from The Simpsons creator Matt Groening and Netflix. Netflix said yesterday that Disenchantment will debut in August. And Rolling Stone says that the series is about, quote, a hard-drinking young princess, Bean. Her feisty elf companion, Elfo, and her personal demon, Lucy. Might be Lucci. It's L-U-C-I. Not sure.
Let's change the name of our show. I'll be Princess Bean.
Okay.
Kevin, you can be Elfo.
Elfo.
I'll be Elfo.
And who are you, Ellie? Who's the third one?
Demon Lucy.
You're Demon Lucy.
I like it.
Boom, we're in.
Done. Ogres, sprites, harpies, imps, trolls, walruses, and lots of human fools. They're going to be going through adventures in the crumbling medieval kingdom of Dreamland. They have ordered 10 episodes, and the season debuts in mid-August. And then Netflix said, hey, you know what? Let's just order a second season as well.
Love it.
So that is all good stuff. Some birthdays for you. Actor Tommy Chong, actor John C. Reilly, singer Bob Dylan, Alfred Molina, and been saying all morning, Allison Hannigan. Not correct. She let me know that her birthday was actually on March
24th.
So we were really close in that it starts with an M. And
okay.
I say we celebrate Allison Hannigan every day. Who's with me?
I'm with you.
Excellent. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, and your drive home today. Tomorrow morning, an all-new show. We've got your tickets to see the LA Galaxy and San Jose Earthquakes at StubHub Center in my own section. I'm having my own section. It's right by LA Riot Squad. Two beers.
You buying drinks for everybody, Kevin?
Two beers comes with each ticket.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And also a post-game autograph session.
With you?
No, not with me. Don't be ridiculous. So anyway, you can buy those tickets, or we'll give away some more tomorrow. We've also got your tickets for Nine Inch Nails tomorrow as well.